Blog Talk Radio.
Come between us.
On this team, we fight.
And we shut them down because we can.
Hello and welcome to the first inaugural edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. Of course, right now it's Coach Kalis, it's just Joe, but Coach K will be joining us soon. He had a funeral he had to attend, and as soon as he is available, he will join us. But we're going to be talking Jasper Wildcat sports. We're going to be talking a little IU and Purdue, some Major League Baseball, and then also whatever else we might think of. We're going to be taking some live callers, so anyone that wants to call in, you can call 773-897-6325. Again, 773-897-6325. We'll be back to talk Jasper football right after this. Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles. Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. Buy a fence in October and enjoy 90 days same as cash. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
Slamming speed!
What are you talking about, Willis? That him!
And now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back from the break. We're going to be talking Jasper Wildcat football. And on the line we have WJTS play-by-play man for the Jasper Wildcat football team, Brent Weibel. Brent, how you doing?
I'm good. Good morning, Joe.
8-0 this year. They've been looking good, haven't they?
Well, I'll tell you what. They really have, and it's a football team that when the season started, I think there were some the expectations were that this could be a good team, but I don't think anybody envisioned an 8-0 start other than maybe Tony Ahrens and his staff, which Joe, by the way, have done a great job of bringing this team along this year. It's really been kind of a joy to watch this team mature and reach the point that they have at this spot in the season, because like we said, we weren't sure what we had, and kind of the talk among broadcasters and people that followed the team was, boy, the first two games were going to kind of set the tone and tell the story. And with a good Memorial team and a good Southridge team, both on the road to open the season, I don't think anybody would have been shocked if the Wildcats would have really started 0-2 on the year. But once they won those two games, I think the confidence level just went up, and they've kind of ridden that from that point. At this point in the season, probably capped off by the just total dismantling of the Mount Carmel, Illinois football team.
Now, you know, one thing I've noticed by being around the program as well is that the you're only as good as your seniors, and this year's seniors is just an unbelievable group of kids.
Well, it is. You've got 16 of them, and I think the leadership is there, and it's been outstanding. And I think that they kind of refuse to lose. They kind of have that attitude, and they're a loose bunch. I think besides that, being very talented, very goal-oriented, and just an outstanding group of young men. I think there's a good group of sophomores and juniors that are behind them and pushing them. And to have a good football team, you need that. You need all those ingredients working for you. And the other thing that probably sets this team apart a little bit and has made them kind of special is you got to have a little bit of meanness. Now, you don't want to be dirty and you don't want to be getting a lot of penalties, but they've just got that little swagger about them. And I think that this team, Joe, what really sets them apart to me, the most striking thing about them at this point, they have adopted, I think, the personality of the coaching staff. I think they're confident. I think they've got a little swagger. I think on the defensive side, you know, you watch that defense play, they play like Nick Eckert played. You watch the offense, they play like Jeff Mock played. And all of it put it under Tony Ahrens, who just put it all together, surrounded himself with a terrific coaching staff, and it's just proven to be a winning formula.
And when you look at that varsity coaching staff, every single one of them wore the Jasper jersey in their playing days.
Well, you know, that's a great point. And I know that's an important factor for Tony Ahrens. And, you know, there are probably some places where that's not as important as what it is at Jasper. But I think that is very significant. I think what you're saying is a key point. That is not lost by other coaching staffs. You look at those guys, they all know, they realize that Jasper has a target on their back every Friday night, no matter who the opposition is, and they understand what it's all about. And I think that is a tremendous asset to the whole team and the community.
Okay, now, Brent, before we get breaking down the sectional, I had a chance to interview Coach Tony Ahrens, and let's hear from him, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
And this is Joe Milligan. I'm here with Coach Tony Ahrens, head football coach of the Jasper Wildcats. Coach, big win last week against Washington to go 8-0 and got a game this week with Mount Vernon.
Yeah, you know, going into that game, it's important that, you know, we if we can win this game, undefeated regular season, and then, of course, a conference championship. So we want to go down there and get off the bus and play a good, sharp football game.
Sectional draw came out this week, and just from a personal standpoint, I couldn't drew it up any better as far as from a stand aspect. But give us a little breakdown about the sectional. You've got in the upper bracket, you've got Central and Wrights and Seymour up there, and let's break up down the top part of the draw first.
Well, you know, first of all, as a coaching staff, you know, we discussed that a little bit before it happens, and understanding that we really have no control on the outcome. But this particular year, we got a very favorable draw for us, and having Boonville here at home, it's important that we don't repeat what we did in the past. We had the same situation where Boonville beat them in regular season, but then we came into the sectional game and didn't play well, and they got us. So, you know, we cannot go into that game and play flat.
I've had a couple people ask me, we're hosting the first round. How exactly does it break down for us Jasper-wise? As far as being home or away throughout the tournament. I mean, am I right? We're on the bottom of the bracket, so mm-hmm. If Harrison would win, would we host?
The best thing for us probably would be to guarantee a sectional final game would be if Seymour would win the Seymour-Harrison game, then we would go to Seymour that second round, and then we would be guaranteed a sectional final game here at our place. So, you know, that's kind of the best scenario probably that could happen. You could probably get Harrison to win, but then it's kind of throw things into a loop. So we just got to get in there and take care of one game at a time.
It's just nice to have some home games in the tournament. Seems like we've been on the road an awful lot for the tournament here.
Yeah, no question. I mean, playing at home and bringing teams in here, it's just a different challenge for them. And it's good for us and the kids to have a game here at home.
Okay, Coach, you're 8-0 going in against Mount Vernon this week. Tell us a little bit about the senior leadership of this team. It just seemed that they've really meshed the sophomore, juniors, and seniors into one group and have just been unbelievable leaders.
Yeah, the nice thing about those guys, you know, they understand that, you know, they can't win games all by themselves. But on the other hand, they have to provide the leadership. And they've done a nice job of keeping a good chemistry with our team, including everybody that needs to be in there and competing. And they're pretty positive with one another. There have been some good experience there with those kids, and they know that you got to play through some awful tough times in games, and they do a good job with one another.
Okay. Good luck this weekend, Coach.
Thank you very much.
And that was Coach Tony Ahrens, coach of the Jasper Wildcats, the number two ranked Jasper Wildcats. Brent, he just does a great job, doesn't he?
Well, I'll tell you what, he really does. First of all, let's put this in perspective. He's following a legend. Jerry Brewer has a stadium named after him, aptly so. He's a football coach that at the time of his retirement was the winningest coach in the state of Indiana. He always had good teams. His teams were always, not only were they very competitive and rugged physical teams, but Jerry did things the right way. He never ran the score up on people. I mean, he was just amazing. And to have a guy the caliber of Tony Ahrens to follow, I mean, just think about this for a minute. There's been a lot of great coaches around. Indiana had a basketball coach. You know what I'm talking about. And you know, it's not always easy to replace those guys with the person that's really right for the job right after that. But in Tony's case, I can't imagine anybody that could have done a better job. You know, he's finishing up his 10th year. He's won 92 games, I believe, going 91 or 92, going for 92 tonight against Mount Vernon. He's lost only 20-some games. So that averages out over 10 years to 9-2 every single season. That's just on the average. And that's phenomenal. I mean, just to be able to do that and to put the staff and coaching staff and people around him that he has, it's amazing. I don't think the guy gets enough credit for the job that he's done. And I've told him that, and I really believe that. And I think that, you know, he's just done a tremendous job following a legendary coach, which is never an easy thing to do.
Okay, now to Sectional 16. Nice little sectional draw for Jasper. If I drew it up, it would have been just about how I drew it up. Let's go over that a little bit, though. On the top of the bracket, first game would be Madison 2-6 at Evansville Wrights. To me, it seems like that'd be a really tall order for Madison.
Well, you know, Joe, I had an opportunity to live in Madison for a year and to follow their football team. And at that time, that was back in, I believe, the 80-81 season. And they had not had a winning football season in decades. And they did on that particular year. But football has been kind of tough for them. Now, they're a much better basketball school than they are a football school. But they probably don't play the schedule that Evansville Harrison does. But yet their records are very similar. The fact that they have to come to Harrison to play in Evansville, that's going to be a tall order for them. I kind of think that Brian Lewis's team, even though I know they've had their struggles this year, I think they're going to be a difficult team for Madison to handle. That's just the way I see it. There have been years maybe when Madison could have played them and could have handled them, but I'm just not sure they're capable of doing that this year.
Okay, now top of the bracket, you know, there's a collision course between Central and Wrights. Seems like that's going to be a key matchup in the state that night, even though Wrights is a little down right now. Down to Wrights is pretty good for most teams.
Well, you're right. Down for Wrights is three losses to three quality football teams. You know, everybody they've lost to is a top-notch caliber ball club, Castle, and you know, the other two teams I fail to remember them right now, but I know they're quality football teams. And that'll be an interesting matchup between those two. Central, of course, finally got that sectional championship that they've longed for a great period of time last year, but they lost some good players too. And they have beaten Wrights in the last two times they played them in the sectional championship game or sectional game last year. We played them in the sectional championship, but they beat them in the semifinal sectional game a year ago. And then they've also played them this year and edged them. Both games were close. But, you know, I think Wrights is going to be really hungry and really ready for that contest. And I think Central's going to have their hands full in a repeat, even though they are a little higher regarded, a little higher ranked at this point. I think Wrights will definitely give them all they want when they play, if they do play each other later on.
Now, you got Jasper playing Boonville. You know, it was a pretty ugly game earlier in the year, but Coach Tony Ahrens brought up the fact that, you know, past history, they had put it to Boonville pretty badly. What year was it? A couple years ago? And Boonville came in then and beat them in the sectional.
And, oh, yeah. That was when Luke Schmidt was on the team. I believe Luke was a junior on that that year. And, yeah, Jasper had pretty well manhandled them. And but they had a boy, I want to say his name was Schnurr, boy who just had a tremendous game. He was just phenomenal. I mean, it probably had, Joe, one of the finest individual performances for a player other than a quarterback that I've ever witnessed. And the guy just was a house of fire. And you're right, they won the game 11-8, and they did it really holding Jasper defensively. Boonville is never a team to take lightly because they're always physical. Coach Blankenship does a good job with them. They're always fundamentally sound. They may not always have the best talent among other teams, but they're always a solid football program, and I don't care what their record is, never overlook them. And again, it's what we talked about earlier. There's that big target on the back of the Jasper Wildcats. It would make Boonville's season if they could come up to Jasper and knock them off in that first game of the sectional.
Now, who are you predicting in the sectional final?
In the sectional final, the way that it's looks like it's going to unfold, I would have to go with Jasper from the bottom of the bracket, and I like Evansville Wrights in the top of the bracket. Even though Evansville Central's a game better in the record, I just think Wrights is going to be very tough for them to handle.
Okay, and just real quickly, let's look at some of the other sectionals. In sectional 23, you got Heritage Hills has a tough matchup right out of the bat against an always tough Brownstown Central team that sits 7-1 on the season.
Well, Joe, you know, you talk about Brownstown Central. They might have year in and year out in our area, and I'm talking southwestern Indiana, and they are kind of on the eastern side of that, but I still consider them southwestern Indiana. They might be as good as anybody year in and year out at what they do. I'm talking their whole total sports package program is just, I mean, they're always good in everything. They're competitive, and don't ever blink your eye and take them lightly. Now, that being said, Heritage Hills is battle-tested. They always are. They play in the PAC, and they usually are facing good competition. They play Jasper in the regular season, and they're a very formidable opponent. I that's a toss-up game. That's a tough game for me to call. If I had to pick a team in that one, and boy, I hate to pick against the Patriots, but I think correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that game's at Brownstown. That'll be a long bus trip for Heritage Hills. That might be the difference. Otherwise, boy, that's a toss-up game. I could see that going either way.
Okay, and then we've got Southridge and Forest Park in sectional 32. Forest Park drew a bye, and Southridge drew the number one team in the state, if I'm not mistaken, Evansville Modern Day, as far as in their class 2A?
Yes, and Modern Day is the real deal. Southridge has been kind of up and down a little bit. I don't think they've had quite the season that Coach Murphy anticipated them having. I think they've gone through a couple of different guys at quarterback, and I think they're still kind of trying to get their feet under them in that respect. If they're able to do that and get that solved, they can give anybody a game. And playing at Huntingburg at their beautiful stadium out there, they can play with anybody. But, yeah, that's a tough order to take on Modern Day. And then I think, if I'm not mistaken, if they win that game, then it looks like probably the next opponent would be North Posey. So that's a tall order. But let me say this. If anybody can pull it off, Coach Kelly Murphy can. And if you win those two games, if you can beat Modern Day and North Posey, man, all of a sudden, I'm thinking you got to be maybe the favorite in that class to win the whole thing.
Yeah. Now Sullivan sits at 6-2. Do you know much about them?
Yeah, the Golden Arrows from my home county, they're always decent. It seems like they had been down a couple of years ago. Trent Olson, their coach, has really done a nice job of bringing them back. I do know, Joe, that they are the only team this year to score more than 20 points against a very outstanding Linton football team. I think they lost. It was a high-scoring game, and they got beat pretty soundly. I'm going to say it was like maybe 48-26 or something. But they are the only team that was able to score more than three touchdowns or more than two touchdowns on a very, very good Linton team all year. So, yeah, they're a dangerous team, and I'm not sure how that draw breaks out for them, but they are a team that they could make some noise, and I think they're in the bracket opposite, aren't they, of Modern Day and North Posey.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're a team that they're a team they would probably be my pick in that particular top bracket. I think Forest Park's got that bye. Forest Park would have to play Sullivan if they win. Is that right?
Yeah, the Golden Arrows will open up against South Spencer, who sits at 3-5 on the season, and then they'd get the winner gets to take on Forest Park, who sits at 1-7 this year.
Yeah, I would have to pick Sullivan as the favorite in that particular bracket. However, don't count out Forest Park and Coach Foose over there. Those guys are getting better. And South Spencer, I mean, you know, you talk about tradition, Joe. They have as much tradition in the game of football as anybody. But and normally, all things even, I would probably pick them over Sullivan. But I think Sullivan this year, you know, they've had a pretty solid season. I think they'll be a tough team to take out of the teams in that top bracket.
Okay, well, Brent, thanks for joining us, and sorry Coach K couldn't make it, but, you know, circumstances have kept him from being here, and I'll tell you what, we'd like to have you on next week to break down the sectional opening game against Boonville.
Well, Joe, I look forward to it. I've enjoyed it, and best of luck to you guys, and yeah, let's hope Coach K is able to get on here next week.
Okay, thank you.
Here at Dino's Upholstery, no job is too big or too small. Our best compliments are the referrals from customers to their family and friends. Customer satisfaction is our number one priority, and we strive to give our customers professional service at rock-bottom prices. New at Dino's Upholstery, Jack's Wax Products. We are the only Jack's Wax distributor in Southern Indiana. We have everything that you need to be the professional detailer you have always wanted to be. Jack's Wax Products have a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your
system.
Money back. Call Dino's Upholstery today, 683-2362, or visit us at 201 North Cherry Street in Huntingburg.
Looking for a dentist close to home?
You may
look no further than Harmon Dental
for
Care.
More
Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
I think this situation absolutely requires a really futile and stupid gesture be done on somebody's part. We're just the guys to do it.
From the Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
And now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back, and we're with head golf coach Steve Milligan. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Steve, how's it going? We wanted to have you on. We didn't start the show until after golf season was over, but wanted to talk to you a little bit about your girls' golf team that had a great season this season. Who were some of your top golfers?
This year was number one player was Mackenzie Hilsmeyer. Our number two player was Annie Getson. Number three player was Emily Horney. My number four player was Janelle Gore. And my number five player was Annika Harmon.
And just give us a little breakdown on the season. You were conference champions, and you also won sectional regional, right?
Yes, we was conference champions for the fourth time. We was sectional champions, regional champions. We ended up 10th in the state, and at the end of the season, we was ranked 8th in the state.
Okay, and you know, I know you got a little break here before the boys' season, but
you have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message. Press 2 to erase and re-record. Press
Hello.
3.
Steve, are you there?
Are you still there? You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your
Hello, I think we lost Coach Milligan. Something happened with his phone or something. Not quite sure, but we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back to get with Coach K and with Steve in just a few minutes. Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family, cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
No job is too big or too small. Our best compliments are the referrals from customers to their family and friends. Customer satisfaction is our number one priority, and we strive to give our customers professional service at rock-bottom prices. New at Dino's Upholstery, Jack's Wax Products. We are the only Jack's Wax distributor in southern Indiana. We have everything that you need to be the professional detailer you have always wanted to be. Jack's Wax Products have a 100%
And now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Your money back. Call Dino's Upholstery today, 683-2362, or visit us at 201 North Cherry Street in Huntingburg.
That looked like the Terminator, only slower. Maybe it was his out-of-stater, or it could have been the Hibernator. That baby is definitely going away for the winter. Whatever for Vaughn, it might be see you later. He's probably going to become a spectator.
High pop fly. That one be a home run in a phone booth.
And now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Mishandle the ball every now and then. Now, Kentucky's only going to put Lamb at the free throw line and nobody on the line. So they don't care whether he makes it or misses it. They're not going to have any problem getting back on defense. Lamb eyes the shot. It is good. It rattled in and then came back out and then went back in. 19 for him. Here comes Rennell Jones. 3 seconds. 2 seconds. Rennell all the way outside the line. But three on the way. Oh!
I only have one question, Coach K. Did you cry during that clip?
You know, I didn't cry, JoJo, but I'll tell you what. I believe that shot was a defining moment in the Tom Crean basketball legacy and the big comeback for IU basketball. I think it was that shot in the arm that not only was this a shot heard around the world and we beat Kentucky and knocked off the number one team, but I think every Indiana fan who was on the fence or anyone that around the country that thought, can IU basketball ever get it back, I think it was answered at that moment. And from that point, the momentum just continued and it will continue into this season. And that's unfortunate for Purdue.
I don't see it happening. I felt it was a lucky shot. I felt like the true outcome happened during the NCAA tournament. But before we get to IU and Purdue, we had some technical difficulties during Coach Steve Milligan's phone call, and I'm going to put him live right now. Steve, are you back with us now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Steve, Coach K has joined us. And
hey, Coach Steve, how you doing?
Okay, Coach.
Another great season for you. You're unbelievable as a golf coach. You have just done a tremendous job with those young people.
Thank you, sir.
Tell us a little bit about your boys' team. You know, that season's coming up. You finished the season third last year at the state championships, and you have a lot of those kids back, don't you?
Yes, I do. And, you know, we are, you know, we right now, it's the off season, and those guys have got to work hard. And I don't know too much. They are working hard, and right now we got one boy that's in tennis, and I hope he goes up to the state finals and win his doubles in tennis.
Get him a little experience holding that championship trophy, huh?
That's right, and that's Will Sager. I hope he does it.
And as Will, is he verbal to IU already for golf? Did I hear that?
He's
or
verbally committed to IU, and that's all I can say.
Yeah, I know we Purdue people, we have swayed a few of the Sager family to the right side of the fence now, and we still got a little time to talk Will out of going to IU. Maybe he'll go to Purdue.
If you want to be successful in athletics, you go to IU.
That's right. Al, you're right.
I want to ask Coach Milligan a couple questions. You know, Steve, I've known you for a long time, and I saw you, you were always involved with young people in sports and things. But then when you moved into the high school coaching level and you took on not just the responsibility of overseeing the golf program, but really having a day-to-day with these young people's lives and the interest that the parents obviously have when their kids are going through. Over the time span that you've been in it, what was the biggest adjustment you had to make as a person being a coach on the high school level?
Well, you got to teach these kids to go to class, make sure that they go to class and keep their grades up at all times. You got to be an athlete, but you got to keep the grades up before being an athlete, and that's the most important thing.
And that's really one of the things that I think a lot of coaches today that are coming into the high school level, a lot of lay coaches, they don't get that, and I would encourage anybody out there that's going to be a lay coach, and that's what you've been. You came in from the private sector and started coaching. Is you understood? I think seeing that growing up and the family you're from and your dad and your mom, that you got to excel in the classroom. There's no reason a great golfer, basketball player, athlete in general can't be successful in the classroom as well if they take the discipline and they take the focus in there. And I think that's great that you're doing that. And I think we both agree that makes a better golfer on the course or a better basketball player on the floor. If they're doing well in the classroom, they're probably going to do well for you on the course.
It's exactly right. Exactly right.
Now, getting back to a little bit of the IU-Purdue stuff, which we're going to talk about, now that we have two IU people on and one Purdue person, they always say that it takes two IU people to one Purdue person. What do you guys think about the football season so far this season? Do either of you follow IU football?
I've been up to a game or two. I think that Coach Wilson is definitely got himself some offensive weapons. He's pretty deep at quarterback. They had Roberson, I believe, got injured, and they've had a couple of guys come on the field and play really well for them. The struggle is on defense, and whether it's football or basketball or baseball, you've got to be able to play defense, especially if you're going to win come playoff or tournament time or get bowl eligible. And right now, IU is they're really, really thin and probably outmanned on the defensive end. That's kind of what I'm seeing, but let's see what Coach Milligan thinks.
I think the same thing. I think he's really deep in quarterbacks, and that defense is just not very good right now. But he is he's working at it. The coaches we had before was not working at it, and Give him a couple more years, and he'll have a team.
My opinion, which I'm sure you guys really really care about, is a Conference USA defense with a subpar offense, Big Ten offense. So, but I'm not going to ever give you guys a break when it comes to IU football.
Well, Joe, I would say that coming from someone with the limited success of Purdue in the last 30 years in football, that's pretty well spoken, except I think you gave us a little bit more of a compliment at IU defensively. I'm not even sure if we're at that level yet, but we are. They are out there working at it. They don't give up during the game. They put themselves in a position to come back or to have, be in a position to get a couple wins. Michigan State, they really had the Ball State game, and you got. I was at the Ball State game. You got to give Ball State credit. They did a great job of keeping together mentally at the end when IU took the lead. A team, it would be natural for a team to have a mental letdown at that point emotionally and the momentum swing all the way in. Ball State walked out on that field and brought it down and put themselves in a position to win it. So, but good things are going to happen. The basketball at IU's is moving where it needs to be, and Coach Wilson will keep moving on that football. They got a tough test on Saturday with the Buckeyes of Ohio State coming in. And I'm afraid if history repeats itself, there'll be more Ohio State fans in the stands than IU fans. So I hope the Hoosier faithful get out there and keep those Buckeye faithful from taking up Memorial Stadium.
Now, the IU people need to wear their red because, you know, also the Ohio State is. And isn't this the day they take the aerial photo for the season ticket brochure so it looks like they have a full stadium?
Touche, my friend, touche.
That's why I always heard they wanted to have Wisconsin and Ohio State in opposite years so that they can take that picture and fool a few people since it's not an up close and personal picture there. But tonight also IU on ESPNU, I think is it 5? I'm not sure. They're actually going to broadcast their first practice. I think Dan Dockage is going to be there broadcasting the first practice, and I will give Tom Crean a little credit. He got some excitement going. I know a couple years ago they wouldn't have been there, but you know, with Cody Zeller, they've got a good team coming back.
Well, it'll be an interesting season. There's no doubt. As Cody goes, IU will go. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But you know, this initial kickoff practice will have a lot of interest, and I love that we're going to get national attention out of it. And I love that Coach Crean is open to that. And then on the 20th, I believe, of October, they have an open scrimmage / practice. And Assembly Hall will be packed for that. And there'll be people that get left out because once they get to capacity, they shut those doors. And I'm sure they will be at capacity.
Yeah, I'm sure they will be too. But I won't be one of them. But I won't be at Purdue either. I got their opening practice tonight. As far as with the, I'm not sure what they're calling it, Mackey Madness or exactly what. And I know they're going to be real young this year, and it's going to be a trying year, I think, probably at times. They'll probably have some really nice games, and they'll probably have some really bad games. But it's just, you know, it's fun to watch. I'm not an IU fan, but, you know, I can also say, though, that I didn't enjoy, well, I kind of enjoyed the couple years before last, but. But it's a lot more fun when IU and Purdue are both decent at sports. So, and someday maybe someday we can even get the Old Oakham Bucket to mean something again.
Well, it makes for a great rivalry. I think Coach Painter, regardless of wins and losses, as he's restocking with talent, I think he does one of the best jobs in the country on teaching and getting his kids to play defense. And that's why Purdue is always going to be competitive. And maybe sometimes, Joe, I think, you know, Purdue fans, the defense has played so well that it keeps them in games. And then the Purdue faithful, and I don't blame them, they're probably looking at it and saying, you know, why can't we end up winning this game? But I'll tell you what, he just does a tremendous job on the defensive end. And I've always felt that about Coach Painter. So you got to give him – you got to give him credit as a coach, and I think it comes down to what it does at every college program, whether it's U of E, whether it's IU, Michigan State, Purdue, recruiting. You got to recruit, and if you get the kids that can run your system and they'll actually put forth the effort to run your system, you're going to be successful. Marty is battling that down at U of E. He's got an outstanding coaching staff, and he knows the game as well as anybody and can teach it as well as anybody. But sometimes you've got to have the players to be able to run the system.
Okay, since we're on basketball, I I'm not sure if I was on Golden Black Illustrated, Pigs, or what I was on, but I see that Kentucky has signed yet another top recruit, and for their recruiting class next year, I think they might have three of the top five kids coming in right now. What are you guys' opinion on this one-and-done deal?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, if the NCAA allows it to be done, then John Calipari is like several different coaches in the country. His interest is coaching basketball. His interest is putting together a successful program. It makes a lot of money. It has a lot of interest in the Bluegrass State. I mean, you grow up thinking Kentucky Wildcat basketball, and you die with Kentucky Wildcat basketball in your mind. And so if the NCAA is going to allow you to do the one and done, well, then he's going to recruit to it. Now, I'm going to say one thing. A few years ago, a decade ago, when Mike Krzyzewski and a couple other coaches out east were doing the 3 years and done, nobody seemed to make a big deal out of it. Duke sculpted a program that would bring players in and try to get them graduated within 3 years so they could go on to the NBA, but nobody made a big deal of that. And so now the NCAA has kind of dummied it up and allowed these guys to come in for 1 year. And I'd rather see them sit their freshman year and play their sophomore, junior, and senior year so they could get acclimated to college, but that's not the case. But what I do want, we have to understand, the amount of money that these young men can make if they are a lottery draft pick or even within the next 10 or 15 far surpasses what most of us with college degrees are going to make over and above our lifetime and several of us combined together. So it is difficult to blame the young man. It is also a little tougher to blame the coach because he's coaching or doing what the NCAA allows. I think it comes down to the college presidents who are putting these rules together at the NCAA.
Now, you know, I do know, am I right, the NCAA is going to allow the student athletes to get a little money? I don't think it's going to make them rich or anything, but I think that they're going to allow them to do that. But I was at a Purdue game a couple weeks ago, the Purdue-Marshall game, and the one thing that struck me is every little kid had a 21 jersey on, Ricardo Allen. And I know that he is getting a college scholarship, but how much money is Purdue making off of selling Ricardo Allen jerseys? I mean,
well, they're making a lot of money, and the NCAA has licensed these things, and from a business standpoint, the universities and the NCAA have found a cash cow. It is a big question, and it can be debated and debated and debated. Should these young men and these young women who participate in college athletes, and Joe, you have a daughter playing college volleyball, should they be given more of a stipend as if they were working for the university? You know, there's work programs in the university for students that they can apply for, and then they do various jobs around the university, and they're paid for it. Now, some people might say, well, they already are with a college scholarship, but this is over and above that, allows them some spending money, allows them to live, especially the young men and women athletes who are from very, very impoverished families. It would allow them to have some money to spend and live a little bit better lifestyle in college that may keep them from looking to the pros right away or looking to hook up with that agent who's doing things that they shouldn't be doing and putting the university and the athlete in position to lose their eligibility.
Now, do you think that they should just go ahead and let them go pro? I mean, what's it doing other than benefiting programs like Kentucky if they're allowed to come in, play 1 year, and really have no interest in finishing school? They're just going to school for a year because they have to.
If you look at it, basketball, football are different. They're unique in that they're college-directed. And then you have baseball, as you well know, that has the minor league system, independent leagues, that a young man actually could be drafted and go into the minor league systems with the hope of going pro. And in that minor league system, they will offer them, usually in their contract, they will offer them to pay tuition and books in the off season for them to go on to college and at least get started with their college courses. So it is kind of strange that the NBA and the NFL doesn't have a minor league system, but that's always been worked through the college ranks. And I don't care. Again, you can debate this, and there's some brilliant people out there who go through this, but it's going to, once you're talking about the hundreds of millions up to the billion-dollar level, it's going to be hard to get universities who need the funds. Their sports programs would be broke without them. And the NCAA, which is big brother, I mean, the NCAA is not six or seven guys sitting at a table once a month for a meeting. They've got hundreds of employees. They've got properties that have to be upkeep and rented and paid for. I mean, it is big business. Just go to Indianapolis and see the home of the NCAA, and you realize this is big business. So it's not that simple to say, oh, just let them go pro or pay them some money. It's just not that simple.
Okay, and we'll be back with Coach K and Coach Milligan right after this. Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. Buy a fence in October and enjoy 90 days same as cash. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget. Get local coupons in your inbox with Southern Indiana Coupons. Get monthly deals from local businesses plus valuable one-day coupons. Go to www.mysicoupons.com and sign up today. That's www.mysicoupons.com.
Just remember, when you're at a game and you see grass, it's the opposite side of the ball, but if you see hardwood out there, it's the other end of the floor. Try to help you young guys in this profession you've chosen that's one or two steps above prostitution.
And now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, and we welcome you back, and we've still got Coach Steve Milligan with us, the leader, the general of the Jasper High School golf program. And Coach, you know, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. I've just known you for so long, and I'm just so proud and respect so much what you've been able to do in the golf program. Let's talk just a couple minutes about Will Sager. Outstanding golfer from a family that has a tradition of golfers. I mean, when you look at him from a national level, what's the opinion, the feeling of Will on a national level and what his potential is going forward?
He's an outstanding golfer and an outstanding gentleman and an outstanding athlete, outstanding student. You know, if he would see you two blocks away, he would make sure he comes in and talk to you. I mean, that's the kind of person he is. And every time he sees you, he would thank you for coming over to see you. You know, he's just that kind of person. You know, he's just that kind of, you know, he's just an outstanding person. And I you know, we expect big things out of him this year. And you know, that's the kind of person he will be this year. And that's what we expect, and it's gonna be a great season out of him this year.
You know, Coach, golf is kind of unique from a lot of the other sports, and this is why, in my opinion, by no means am I a great golfer, but you've got the team aspect of the sport, but you also have the importance of the individual aspect of the sports, and as a sport and as a coach, how do you go about blending those two? You know, the individual player's out there, he's trying to shoot the very best score he can. He can't count on someone knocking a drive for him so he can putt it in. I mean, he's got to go and approach that game and be the very best he can be. And then you have the team aspect where it's bringing those scores together and competing to win against the other team. Who do we have to beat? Who's got to bring their score up? How do we shoot on this course? If we can get our fifth golfer to get his score up, we've got a chance to win this match overall and from a team standpoint. But you as a coach, you're kind of wearing two hats. You've got to work with that individual golfer to play his best game, shoot his best golf that day, and you've got to work with the team to shoot an overall score that's outstanding to win. So how do you approach that as from a coaching standpoint?
Well, it turns out to be a mental game, it's all between those 6 inches of, between the 6 inches of the ears. That's part of the game. It's the 6 inches. Mm-hmm. So 6 inches between your ears. That's all it is.
And
more than anything, it's a mental game. And the boys and girls, they look at me like I'm half crazy, but I say it's all those 6 inches. That's part of the game. It's not. Everybody can hit those long drives. Everybody can chip. Everybody can putt. But it's called the mental game, part of the game. That if you get that mental part of the game down, you can win and lose. That's what it comes down to.
Now, when you say everybody, I've golfed with Coach K, and I don't include him on that so that everyone can. I once saw him take a drive. I drove the ball off of hole number one at the Jasper Country Club, if I'm not mistaken. Someone walked out of the pro shop, was it, Kenny, or what was it? And the ball dribbled in there. Is that a true story?
It might have happened. It might have gone backwards. It just might have. But you know what? Get the focus off me. Let's go back to the real golfing legend here as far as a teacher. Coach, let me ask you when you have a team that is struggling, whether it be boys or girls, you have a team struggling, but you have one or two golfers that are striking the ball well and putting well and scoring, do you use their success to try to help bring the others around because individually they're playing well and, you know, they're feeling good about themselves. We're playing well, but you still have the team aspect of the game. How do you get those individuals that are playing well to make sure they're staying focused on also helping their teammates around them to play well so you can score as a team as well?
You never tell them how bad or good the team is doing. You always got to make sure that they know that the team is not playing good or bad, because you want to keep them up because you want to keep them up because they could turn around sooner or later. You know.
Yeah.
And well,
yeah.
at the state finals last year, you know, Harrison and us went in that last round, I believe 9 strokes down. And we both caught fire the last day, and Harrison got us by three strokes. And they won the state finals. And we got third place. And that's what happened. And it was a great finish. And it was a lot of fun that day.
Well, you've had a lot of fun in your career coaching golf. You just have done a marvelous job with those young men and women. And they're very fortunate to have someone that is so balanced in his approach and his attitude. And I've known you for a long time, and you always keep such an even keel. I'm sure you get a little rough and put those eyes on people once in a while, but for the most part, you've always kept an even keel, and I can see how that would mean a lot, especially in golf, because, like you said, those 6 inches between the temples there, you've got to keep it together in order to shoot well and score well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, this year with the girls, I did not. Let's say they had more fun this year with the girls. I let them do more. The boys, I got on a little bit, but the girls this year, I'd let them do more. We went up to state finals, and they did their little dancing when they went up there. They did dancing at the regional, and they did the dancing at the state finals. They was dancing the number 4 tee at
down at Evansville, and I went, oh, my God, what am I doing? And this Columbus East Coast came to me and said, what are they doing? And I said, your girl, I said, I almost said, your girls are uptight. My girls are not. So we're probably going to win, and your girls are not. And our girls won, and their girls didn't. But I was about ready to kill my girls, and they didn't, not kill, but, you know, say, I was ready to scream at them, but I said, no, don't do it. So they were dancing, and my girls weren't.
Well, you saw their personality.
Yeah, that's the personality.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes we as coaches, we think that everybody needs to be focused and ready. We think they have to be quiet and stern. But really, part of the journey in playing, competing, and enjoying what you're doing is letting your personality be a part of it. And each player is different, but when they can find something in common as a team to have fun with and be able to enjoy the journey, you know, a lot of times you'll have a squad that's loose and more ready than if you think they all got to act the same and be this stern quiet and, oh, yeah, now they're ready because they're doing it the way I want. Really, as a coach, we need to put them in a position to be successful, in a game plan that allows them to be successful, and then we've got to let their talents and their personalities take them to the next level. Easier said than done, but obviously you've been able to do that with the Jasper Golf program.
Yeah, right. I hope I did. I hope I have, and hope I continue to do it.
All right, well, we certainly will continue to watch the golf progress. And, Joe, what do we got going?
We've got, in the last segment of the show, we'll talk a little Major League Baseball. And also, if we do have anyone listening, you can give a call in if you'd like to talk at 773-897-6325. 773-897-6325. And again, for you IU folk, 773-897-6325. We'll be back right after this.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. Buy a fence in October and enjoy 90 days same as cash. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget. Get local coupons in your inbox with Southern Indiana Coupons. Get monthly deals from local businesses plus valuable one-day coupons. Go to www.mysicoupons.com and sign up today. That's www.mysicoupons.com.
Just remember, when you're at a game and you see grass, it's the opposite side of the ball. But if you see hardwood out there, it's the other end of the floor. Try to help you young guys in this profession you've chosen. It's one or two steps above prostitution.
And now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back for our final segment today. We'll do a little talking about Major League Baseball. We'll maybe even predict a little bit here, with a little prediction contest. But Coach K, that clip was Bob Knight. And do you ever think that Tom Crean and Matt Painter will have the rivalry that Gene Cady and Bob Knight had?
I don't know that it can ever get to that point. You know, Coach Painter is a fiery guy, and Coach Crean is too, but there was just such a tremendous intensity when it came to Coach Cady and Coach Knight. And I think they went through a period where it wasn't about shaking hands, good game, shaking hands. It was about going out and trying to beat the other guy. And I think Coach Cady and Coach Knight also realized that they were recruiting the same kids. I mean, think about it, Joe. I mean, they're the two top dogs in the state of Indiana and Illinois and Ohio and Michigan that's bordering us and some Kentucky. And they're the two top dogs, and they're competing against each other, not just on the hardwood floor, but they're competing against each other for the best players of the state and the surrounding states. So that was an intense, intense competition. Now, Coach Crean, who is a tremendous recruiter, I don't know that we'll ever see that type of intensity come onto the floor as with Coach Painter, who is a tremendous tactician and is working harder on the recruiting end. I just don't think we'll see that intensity level. But we're going to continue to see a rivalry if Purdue can get their team level up to IU's.
Okay, and guess what, Kenny? We've hit a milestone. We have a caller on the line. Our first official caller. Caller, who is this? How are you doing?
Joe, this is Gook. Coach.
It's the Gookster.
What's going on? Kenny, breathe a little bit. Take a little time.
Kurt, I'll tell you what.
Hey, he's not getting paid for a word.
Kurt, when I get an opportunity to talk sports, there's no breath to take. But it's good to have you on. What's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. Just heard you guys doing a great job so far. I like the IU basketball analysis. We could leave the Purdue talk to a minimum, but other than that's great.
Well, let's talk a little bit with you on the line. You're an aficionado. You do a great job with your sports program, WBDC. You're constantly looking into what's going on in the sporting world, and I know you're a big IU fan. We know that Coach Crean has done a tremendous job recruiting. We know that Cody Zeller, as he goes, we're going to go. What about some of the other pieces in the IU puzzle? What do you think about the returners and some of the new people coming in?
Well, as you well know, it's when you have returning guys that have to mesh with younger guys, that's always a big thing that's going to have to happen. Will those guys accept some of those younger guys? Will they play well as a unit? Will guys accept different roles than they had in years past? Will they all make the commitment to play on the defensive end? Will they play well with the target on their back? There's a lot more questions probably right now than answers. I know a lot of fans think that the Hoosiers have all the answers right now, but it's only October 12th, and we're going to have to wait and see what happens.
And, you know, you just brought up a great point that I think a lot of Hoosier fans don't think about. And I know some of the people that I run around with and even the Hoosier fans sitting in my household, they're not thinking about the difference of this year. And you said it best when you said they now have the target on their back. They were always playing for respect and to move up the ladder. Now they're kind of at the top of the ladder, and now they're trying to stay up there. And that brings a whole new perspective, brings a whole new way that Coach approaches his players. It brings a whole new way that the players have to approach the game, because every game they go into, the opponent knows that they can make a name for themselves if they can knock off the Hoosiers.
And that's not something out of the ordinary for Indiana teams of the past. Even when they weren't very good, that was still the red-letter game on people's schedule. Although Indiana didn't have the bullets to fight some of those teams, teams still got ready to play Indiana. And that's going to be a very interesting a way to look at things this year to see how they handle it. And I think with Coach Crean and some of the guys they got running that operation, I think it'll be all right. They'll be able to do that.
Now, Kurt, changing the subject here because I'm getting kind of bored.
Yes, Joe. That's fine. It's your show. You can do anything you want. I do online.
No, I'm kidding. What do you think about the football draw, sectional draw that came out for the local teams?
Well, I mean, it's a week away. Some teams got to take care of their business tonight, but Jasper's got to like their draw as they get ready to play in that 4A tournament. Southridge has got a tough row to hoe, but you know, Southridge is a program much like Jasper. I mean, they're not going to be afraid of anybody, especially at home, and they play modern day, you know, very well, you know, most times.
Yeah.
So that's fine. Heritage Hills, they'll play a good team in Brownstown, a different type of team than they usually play, a different sectional opponent. But Forest Park, they got the bye, so it should be interesting. Football's kind of neat like that. Sometimes games don't go once you get in the tournament how they went in the regular season.
Now, how's the little Stetter kid doing?
What's that?
How's the little Stetter kid coming along?
Yeah, Luke's doing great. He's got a good command as a sophomore, much like Nolan Aarons does. You know, guys believe in him, and that's the biggest thing. You got to get guys at that quarterback spot, that point guard spot, that catcher, that shortstop to believe in what you're doing at that position. And guys have followed him. And he's got a little edge to him, which they needed. They needed somebody to pick them up, get them going. And he's got that, plus he's got some good physical talent as well. And he's got a little Mitch in him, and you know how Mitch was. And that'll be good for Southridge. Anytime you can play a sophomore and he plays at that high level, and you got a good thing going for years to come.
You know, I think this weekend's also one of those, from a coaching aspect, you're just, especially in football, you don't want anybody to get hurt. You still got to go out and you got to play hard. You got to play with some intensity. I look down in the Evansville area, Memorial, who really has an opportunity to do better in the postseason than they do during the regular season. They play Castle, and Castle is big and strong, and you just go out there. You got to have your kids play. They got to play hard, or they're going to end up getting hurt. But you worry about, is that key guy going to come off the field or come off the basketball court with a sprained ankle or something like that? So that, you know, the tournament's right there, but you got to finish strong, and your kids have got to come out healthy.
Yeah, and what really makes a big difference in those type of games, do you have something to play for in week 9, or if you're playing somebody good? I mean, Memorial's going to play Castle, so they're going to go out there and try to play. Southridge is going to Gibson Southern. They're going to have to put together a good football game because they still want to win that game. But I understand, Coach, that's a very fine line on how you want to approach that. I can see that.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, just from my own experience, we had a couple guys that right before last game of the year, they tweak an ankle or they hurt a knee, and you just think, wow. But you got to play the game. And you've got to play with the best intensity that you have because your kids still want to be successful and you want them to be successful on the court or the field.
Well, you have to have a final regular season game. I mean, that's the way the schedule goes, and it's practice game, whatever. It's, you know, you got to participate, you got to take part in it, so hopefully everybody stays safe.
Well, Joe, now, we got a couple minutes left, right?
Yeah, we got about 10 minutes left.
All right.
Baseball. Reds went down. I think Kenny went to the
Ouch.
Game, and he jinxed the Reds and Scotty Rowland.
Ouch!
What's the deal on the rest of the series? What's your predictions, Kurt?
Well, getting back to the Reds, I don't know. That was just a massive collapse. They did not play with any urgency, and I don't know if Coach agrees with me or not. But you know, after they lost that tough game 3, it was like let's just be cool, let's just go about this. And then when they elected to start a week instead of Latos, I think the guys were just playing for a possible game 5. On the other hand, the Giants were coming out, and they looked like they were ready to play. Anytime their starting pitcher got in trouble, Bochy had somebody up in the bullpen. It seemed like the Reds were just a little step behind. I know all the Red fans are on Dusty Baker, but he didn't strand all those runners that they left yesterday. They didn't like the double steal, but the catcher was hitting, a possible guy that can hit in the double play. He wanted to start the runners. The hitter Hannigan didn't swing the bat either, which was a problem on that play. But it was just a total meltdown. And some of those guys didn't have good series. I mean, Votto was so hurt that he can hardly drive the baseball, and that was a big problem. I mean, he can stand up there and hit. And same way with Rowland. Talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and you wouldn't believe how banged up and how hurt he was. And I can't believe some of those guys can go out there and play. So before, you know, you want to criticize a guy for not producing, you may need to look at that. Not like we're doing that or anything, but it was just a tough go all the way around for the Reds. It just didn't seem like after that game 3 and they wasted that Homer Bailey start that they were the same team. You got to give credit to the Giants, though. They played well.
Yeah, and I have to agree with you, Kurt. I was a little stunned when I walked in for game 4 as a guest of the Rowlands to watch game 4, and I was a little stunned when I saw the pitching choice, and I saw a couple of the other guys on the field. Not that they aren't capable of being on the field, don't get me wrong, but you're playing for a chance to end and move on. You're playing to get by this round, and you're not putting what I consider, at least what you claimed that you believed was your best group out there. And I kind of felt like your statement, Kurt, that they were just playing to go to a game 5, and I was absolutely stunned with it. I would have thought they would have said, we just missed the opportunity to end this in game 3. Let's go out and get it done today. And it was not there from the start of the game. It was not there.
Well, you know, with what you're saying is going out there with Leak. I mean, you're right. He is capable. He's a first-round pick. You can look at it two ways. You can say, hey, it's time for him to go out and produce. Let's see if Mike Leak can win us a ball game. But when you're dealing with 25 guys, and at that point it's a lot,
like Steve Milligan was talking about the golf. It is a mental state. Guys in that clubhouse,
yes.
They want to see their best players out there and playing. You know, and you know, even yesterday, it was a letdown for the Reds not to have Scott Rowland out there in Game 4.
Yes.
He probably couldn't go, but he's one of their best guys, and it hurt not having him out there. You know, when they look around that clubhouse, mentally, they want their best guys out there, and they want to see that.
I got to tell you, I think that Dusty seriously was trying to get some other guys some at-bats, and that's what I'm saying.
Yes,
I think
there's no time to get guys at-bats. This is not playing the Pirates in the middle of June.
I'm with you. You want Scott Rowland at third. You want Hannigan behind the plate. And you want who appears to give you the best chance to win. I don't care if he's on 3 days or 4 days rest. Get him out there and let's get this thing over with. And what happened was the thing that every coach, everyone who's been in athletics fears, and you know it is just as well, Kurt, you've been around both. Every time you let the momentum switch and the Giants started hitting the ball and they started feeling good about going to the plate, and I worried about the momentum change, and it was there by the middle of Game 4.
And, you know, I know Dusty Baker's not a rah-rah guy. You shouldn't have to get MLB guys fired up to go play, but it's just that vibe. And you heard the Reds talk about it yesterday after the game. They talked about how important that third game was. And even they dropped it, the Giants got it going, and that was it for that.
So you definitely don't want it to filter through into the fourth. You got to go out there and finish this thing because I don't care whether you're home or away. That momentum changes and it's just tough. But Game 3, you know, we said all year, the Reds win with pitching and defense. And folks, they had pitching and defense in Game 3. They just couldn't find a way to get a run across. And you can say, well, the Giants scored in the 10. Okay. But we're talking 10 innings, 2-1 game. That's a great game defensively and from a pitching standpoint. You got to find a way to find a run. So I'll leave it still with the Reds players going to the plate. You got to find a way to get people on and move them over and get them in. So you can blame Dusty. You can blame players. You can blame league. But there were opportunities throughout the game to score runs. In Game 5, Kurt. My gosh, how many times do we have two on? The Reds have two on, one out, two on, no outs, and couldn't get them in.
Well, on the 6th, 7th, and 8th, they had the tying run at the plate in each one of those innings. They had the winning run at the plate in the last inning. So that's just
Absolutely.
The way that came out. And it's tough for you when you win 97-plus games to have it in like that. But, you know, somebody's got to go home, and the Giants are moving on.
Yeah, and speaking of moving on, the Tigers are moving on, and I think you made a comment on your Facebook page the other day or yesterday about the pitcher for the A's. Can you tell us a little bit about that comment, where he's from, and what happened on that?
Well, Judd Parker, he pitched for Norwell. He was a junior in the 2006 state championship, and the Wildcats of Jasper went up there and scored 6 runs on him and 7 hits in about 3 1/3 innings. And that wasn't the highlight of the game. The highlight was the 13-12, all the fireworks that happened after Parker left. Luke Mariner, who was a great pitcher for Jasper, pitched in 3 different stints in that game. Came out, came back in, came out, came back in as they worked the Wildcat bullpen. The Wildcats had a great team. They won they won 13-12 on that base hit by Josh Sermersheim in the bottom of the 7th that played at Sam Linetti and gave the Wildcats the state championship. But the Wildcats, their players remember how good Parker was, and they weren't afraid of him that day. He went on as a senior to win Mr. Baseball, and he was the 9th overall pick by the Diamondbacks the next year. But the guys kind of had a little fun with that in the last couple of days, that he's pitched so well for the A's. And baseball, just like basketball, has produced so many guys in Indiana. If you watched the game yesterday, the Cardinals and the Nationals, how many times has this happened? Lance Lynn, the Cardinal reliever, he's from Brownsburg. He gives up the home run to Jason Wirth. His high school teammate was the winner for the Nationals, that being Drew Storen, their closer. So two guys from Brownsburg were the winning and losing pitchers in that game yesterday in MLB. You've got Parker, you've got Rowland, you've got Don Mattingly managing, you've got all those guys, Clint Barmas. But that was me with that Nationals and Cardinal deal yesterday, and I told somebody that last night, and they went, hey, that's kind of neat. So I thought it was too.
Yeah, that's a great connection. I did not realize that connection. And I think probably in these last 15 years, last 20 years, we have seen baseball in Indiana, high school baseball in Indiana, get a little more recognized. We're starting to see that there is talent in this state, not just on the basketball court or the football field, but right there on the baseball diamonds, and just a lot of young talent that came out of our high schools and have done well at the major league level. And now here we are in October with the fireworks and all the excitement, and it's the boys from Indiana that are getting to really make a dent in the wins and losses of the game.
Yeah, that's really neat. It's always good to see all those guys do well. So, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Hey, guys, we only have a couple minutes. I'd like to throw out a few games and get predictions from you guys. Let's start with the IU Hoosiers taking on visiting Ohio State Buckeyes. Kurt?
All Braxton Miller all night. Indiana's got good offense. Defense played better against Michigan State. But the IU offense last week killed the IU defense. They went too many three and outs in that up-tempo offense. Defense is on the field against Bell and the Spartans. I give the nod, of course, to Ohio State tomorrow.
Coach K?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. It's going to be a Buckeye victory. I hope it's not huge, but it could be. And I agree with Kurt. Last week, second half, the three and outs really hurt the IU. It put a lot of pressure on the IU defense. And I'm sure they'll make some adjustments, but the problem is they're going up against the Buckeyes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we got the Purdue Boilermakers taking on the Wisconsin Badgers. Sorry, Kurt.
Well, Purdue's got to bounce back from that Michigan game. I was very surprised by that because Purdue is very good, especially on defense. And Michigan with Robinson, they made it look easy. And that's a big game in their division with Wisconsin tomorrow. And I don't really think Wisconsin's very good, especially on the road. So they're going to have to take care of business. I give the slight edge to the Boilermakers who have that good defense, Kewon Short and those guys. They're going to have to put Wisconsin into some throwing downs, and if they can do that, they'll be all right, even with Wisconsin's running back. So, Joe, I'm going with your Boilers.
All right. Coach K?
I'm going to go against the Boilers only because of this.
Surprise, surprise.
I'm not sure that the Boilers know how to win in the Big Ten. So I'm just going to go. I think you're going to have a tough time bouncing back from that loss, and I'm going to go with the Badgers.
Okay, and how about the Notre Dame-Stanford matchup?
That is really good. Stanford playing better than people thought without Andrew Luck. They're going to go to South Bend without their top receiver. So up against that Notre Dame defense, Coach Kelly has been always a offensive type of guy down through the years, but he's learned he's got to coach on the defensive side of the football, and he's got that done now. Notre Dame is very good defensively with Teo. Their front four, front seven is very good. Golson's coming into his own at quarterback. I think it's going to be awfully tough for Stanford to go cross-country and get a road win against Notre Dame, but it's going to be close, and I think the Irish win it.
Coach?
I'm definitely going with the Irish, and I think for all the reasons Kurt said, Coach Kelly, when he came there, I'd seen him coach at Cincinnati. I knew he was going to do a great job, but there just wasn't much there. And he's got a lot of punch yet to come on the offensive end, but he doesn't have the weapons. So he's focused on the defense. They are very, very good defensively, and that's how you win big games. But when that offense starts to really click, you're going to see a really strong Notre Dame team. Irish all the way.
Now, one last thing to ask you guys. Big on tradition, were you guys impressed with Notre Dame's helmets last week? I texted Dr. Harmon. He was at the game and said, those have to be one of the most god-awful helmets I've ever seen in my life. But he loved them, of course, because he's a homer.
No, that was awful. And every Notre Dame fan I talked to before that game, I gave them a warning, saying that's awful. But, of course, teams are doing that. Adidas was spearheading this deal, and they've done it with Wisconsin, with Nebraska. That is not Notre Dame. And I'll tell you what, Joe, Coach, the new Notre Dame helmets, that shiny gold, that's not Notre Dame either. I was very disappointed in them going away from the traditional gold helmets.
Yeah.
That's not Notre Dame.
it's definitely, you talk about going to the left. I mean, that's way out there. I looked at it and I thought I was looking at a deck of playing cards, the cover of a deck of playing cards. I thought, what is this? Or a beer, a new beer commercial. It doesn't look anything like the Irish. And Kurt, I am glad you said that about the gold helmets, because that's too shiny. That's just not, that's not the Irish that, that I want to see. But you know what? If they get it done on the field, if they stop teams and score, you know what? I don't care what they wear. Let's go Irish.
Yeah, the kids like the new stuff that all the manufacturers coming out with. So at the end, it's all about the kids. So I guess that's good.
And I want to throw one thing in to one of the ESPN guys, Colin Cowherd. For 3 or 4 years, he's ripped on Notre Dame. For 3 or 4 years, he said, oh, nobody's going to want to come to Notre Dame, South Bend, and play in the cold. They only want to go south. Well, Colin, in the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to get just continue to eat your words, and I'm sure that you'll make an excuse and say you never said that. But you did, and you've been saying it for a long time.
Well, let's not go overboard. They still got some work to do.
They're going to get there.
Well, guys, that's all the time we have for this week, and I'm going to play a little something to help build my audience to end the show by two fat white rappers from Bloomington. But Kurt and Coach K, I appreciate you guys being here, and I hope to have you both here next week. How's that?
Hey, I want Kurt to be a regular. I want him calling in every week because I want to talk to somebody who has a little understanding, Joe. Not just, I can't talk to you. I want to talk to Kurt.
Well, shoot, I was able to do laundry for Liz and everything because I didn't have time to talk. So with
Joe's the boss of this whole operation, so he can talk whenever he wants.
That's true.
So this is Joe Milligan signing off for our guest Kurt Guxell and Coach K, and we'll see you next week at 11 o'clock.
But you ain't though, nope. We just crossed you over, broke your ankles. The real assembly hall, no, Illinois is about to explode.